pray that you will in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 3:20 talks about God being able to do super abundantly above anything that we may ask or even think. That sounds good to me. How about you? Sounds real good to me. But it says according to the power that worketh within us. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about power, maybe from a little bit of a different direction than what a lot of times people preach about this power from. Let me ask you a question and see what your answer would be. When was the greatest power given or expressed? Was it when Jesus laid his hands upon the blind eyes and the eyes opened up? Was it when Jesus put his hand upon the leper and he was cleansed? Was it when he resurrected Lazarus from the grave? Was it in the Garden of Gethsemane when he felt like giving up, but he found the power to go on and do the will of the Father? Was it when everyone turned and left him alone and he felt lonely and deserted, but in that lonely moment he found courage to go on? Was it on the cross when he looked down and he seen his family weeping and crying, and he knew that he must, in spite of the hurt they were going to suffer, that he'd go ahead and die that painful death on the cross? Was it on the cross when he says, Father, forgive them that they know not what they do? When was the greatest power expressed? Was it when he took on all the sin? Was it in that moment when he said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? When was the greatest power expressed? Was it when a tender moment when he expressed love to the woman at the well? Or when John laid his head upon his breast? It would be hard to decide, wouldn't it? When was the greatest power? What required the greatest power? Which one of those great acts required more power to flow from God's Spirit? The point I'm making tonight is there's many kinds of power. Sometimes what we think of as being power may not really be as much power than some of the less glamorous things that we might do in life. It takes a lot of power to go on in spite of the pain and suffering, doesn't it? It takes a lot of power to hang in there when you feel like giving up. It takes a lot of power when you feel down on yourself and discouraged at yourself, but you decide you're going to go ahead and push in there anyway. It takes a lot of power for all these things. It took a lot of power for the disciples to push on and take the gospel to all the ends of the world when there was such a resistance, such a rejection, such a loneliness. And tonight I want to talk a little bit about the foundation of power. Now you're going to have to really tune in, because it ain't going to last long. So you're going to have to listen carefully to get it. It's kind of like when you're going down the highway and you pass a place and the sign says population 3. You got to look quick, don't you? Got to pay attention. So that's what you're going to have to do tonight. I'm going to give you 7 aspects to a solid foundation of power. 7 building stones. 7 aspects to a foundation of a powerful life. I want to have God's power flowing through me. How about you? I want to accomplish what God has created me to accomplish. I don't want to be a failure when it comes to why God created me. The first building block of the foundation of power, and remember, Christ is that foundation, but it's his divine nature being expressed in different ways that we're talking about. Number one, the one great building block of power is love. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Love is a very simple thing. You expected me to say that, didn't you? How many expected me to say that? Why is love such an important ingredient for a powerful life, a successful life? Now, number one, or A under number one, is that it takes you out of a position of vulnerability, being vulnerable. I want you to think about what I'm saying. If you allow God's love to flow through you, it causes you, it takes you out of circumstances. You no longer become the object of the circumstance. You no longer are vulnerable to the misery and the hurt of the circumstance. And how does that work? Probably you're wondering, right? You don't know yet, right? Let's say that I come up against a circumstance with Mary Moore. She sits right here. She gets it all the time. Mary Moore has got a problem. And God wants me to be that mighty force that will work upon the face of this earth to help Mary Moore. It's going to take power. It's going to take some strength here. So I come to Mary Moore, and remember the sermon I preached, that when you get in there and start to help somebody, you better watch out for your toes, because they're going to get stepped on. You're going to have to smell their bad breath and their odor, and you're going to have to take some of the punishment. And you know what they're going to do with you? They're going to say, "Oh, Mr. Good Guy wants to help me, huh? Well, come on in. Sit down at the table of hard knocks here. I'll include you in on this little hurt. You know, I'll include you. I'll cut you in on the problem." People like to cut people in on problems. Now, if I don't have the love of God working in my life, then when she reaches out and hurts me, I'm going to be involved in this thing. I will become part of the problem. Right? I will become involved in the hurt. I will become involved in the circumstances, and now there's two of us that need help. How many's ever run into that when you're trying to help somebody? Now there's two that need help. Let's go get the rest of them in here. Maybe we can get everybody in this problem. But when I come into this problem and I love her with agape love, what does that mean? That means that she becomes the object. She becomes the concern. I'm no longer involved. I am no interest of myself. And she's the only thing that counts. She's the only thing that's important. So that when I deal with a problem and the hurt comes out, I don't matter anymore. Because love what? Love gives. Love is concerned upon the object. Love is not something that's concerned about self. So love takes me out of a vulnerable situation because I can no longer be hurt. Because my love for her is so strong that I do not even care what's happening to me in the circumstances. I cannot feel the pain coming towards me because I feel her pain of her heart. Love is a very important ingredient when it comes to a foundation of power. Because love causes you not to be vulnerable anymore. It causes you not to be a part of the circumstances. It takes you out of the problem and lets you focus on the real problem, the real challenge. Praise God. Love also is a very important part of the foundation of power because everyone needs love. Now think about this. What kind of power do we need? Do we need power to stop the weather? To make this, you know, I can come over and make this pew up in the air. Anybody want to see me do it? Okay, here it goes. That'd be great power. Everybody clap their hands and say, "Wow, a lot of power." But we don't care about that, do we? We care about people. That's why we're alive, is because of created beings. Everything deals with living, breathing, created beings. Now, why is love so important? Why does love give me power to affect? Because everybody needs love. Right? Everybody needs to be loved. Now I want you to please tune in and get this the way God gave it to me, because I'm so excited that I don't know what to do. If everybody needs love, and I somehow can be a vessel of love, then that means I've got something everybody needs. Doesn't it? And that means I've got the power to influence a life to the good. Because everybody needs it. All I've got to do is find a way around the obstacle course that everybody puts up for people who want to love them. Do you know what I mean? Everybody has an obstacle course you've got to go through to get to love them. Because everyone feels threatened by love. Because they're afraid it's not real. They're afraid it's going to end up hurting them. They're afraid that you're going to open them up and then reject them. They're afraid somehow in that they're going to experience hurt. So they put a little obstacle course for you so you prove your love for them. How many of you already knew that? How many's ever been through that? The obstacle course. Man, I tell you what, that used to aggravate me, Tim. Because here I be, I try to love someone. And then they start playing games with me. Mind games. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm trying to love you. You got a need, and why are you giving this obstacle course? I'm not in the Marines. But everybody put obstacle courses up, so you play the little game of love. When you prove yourself, then they open up their heart, and then you have the power to set a person free and to give them something very special in life to cause them to be successful. So love is that first building block. Number two, as Christians, we have great power because we have great knowledge and understanding. We have great power because we have knowledge and we have understanding. When God gives me supernatural knowledge to know you, Jimmy, sometimes I wish he wouldn't have. No, I'm just kidding. But when I know Jimmy and I know what makes him tick, I could joke on that some more, but I won't. But then that gives me power to influence his life because I know him. I know what he needs. I know what he doesn't like. I know what's behind everything that he thinks and feels. God gives us knowledge. That gives us power. God gives me knowledge to know when things go wrong, why? So things don't become a stumbling stone to me. The knowledge of knowing why things are like they are relieves the pressure. It makes it easier to deal with circumstances. Because we really know and understand. Misunderstanding things and having a lack of knowledge is one of the greatest reasons why we have a lack of power. We become impotent. We become useless. Because we just don't know. We're so frustrated. We have so much pressure on us. And we become so discouraged. Because we don't understand. Understanding and knowledge is a great source of power. Number three, a great foundation or a part of foundation of power is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness frees me from the past. I don't have much of a past. I don't care about my past. Tomorrow's gone. Today's gone. Whatever happened today don't make any difference to me. I like the freedom of living every moment as a brand new woman. I just don't care about the past. You know, some people get mad at that. You know, I've heard women say, well, he can be mad at me all day long till it gets to be 5 o'clock at night. That's not exactly what they say, but something like that. You know what I mean? But sometimes you just get over it quick because you forgive. Forgiveness frees you from hurt. Because if someone hurts me and I forgive them, I'm free. If someone mistreats me and I forgive them, I'm free from it. But if you have a spirit of unforgiveness, it's like an anchor to your soul. If Chris over here hurts me, and he plants the seeds of hurt and pain within my mind, and I walk away and I cannot forgive him, I carry those hurts in my mind. And they obstruct my mind and I can't function correctly. But if I'll forgive that, I take my scissors out and cut it. Now I'm freed from that. And now I can live again. Now I can go on and be free. Praise the Lord. Number four, the next building stone, is that of being a living sacrifice. The ability of a Christian to be dead in Christ. A living sacrifice. Such a power source. It frees you up. Because if nothing in this life has any type of effect on me, then all my strength is left intact for me to do positive things. We have tremendous power, but our power source is drained. It's drained about because of all the attachments in life. Oh, I might lose this, I might lose that. You know, Connie and Jerry have been going through that today. Well, I might tell you about it later, or might not, I don't know. I told them not to tell anybody, now I might do it. Whatever the Lord wants, their whole future lied before them, and it was there. Now you're wondering what's going on? I'll tell you later. But we got a living sacrifice. You cut all the chains loose. Nothing has a hold on you. Your house, who cares? Burn it down if you want to. Put it in the refrigerator, come on and eat it up. The car, put eggs in it. I still got a little egg left in it. For our last episode. People, hey, you care, but you don't have chains. You're dead to them. You're a living sacrifice. You live for Christ and nobody else. So nobody and nothing has chains and anchors that hold you back and drain you of the power that God gives you. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm always that way. But I'm saying that's the ideal way to be, and I've experienced it many times. It makes you free to exercise the power that God has given you. The ability to be a living sacrifice. I love it. I love it. I love to be able to take my jacket off and give it to a bum on the street and say, go on, take it. I love to be able to take my money out of my pocket and go and say, here, you can have it. I don't care. Doesn't that feel good? Not to have to go home if you don't want to go home. Or to be able to go home even if you don't want to go home. Get that? Confusing, wasn't it? To be able to do whatever, go anywhere, be anything, doesn't make any difference to you what you are, where you go, as long as you're serving the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Such a free life. Such a free life. The ability to be a living sacrifice. Number five, the next building stone is purpose. We can have a purpose that outlives this life. We have a purpose that's bigger than anybody. We have a purpose that's more important than anybody. We have a purpose that's more important than any material thing. We have a purpose that draws us out of the temporal life and lets us relate to the eternal life. Our purpose is a building stone of power. Our purpose gives us energy and direction. Our purpose gives us something much greater than any circumstances that can exist. You can even be tortured and you can live through it because you have a purpose. Gary Buehler the other day was talking to me. He said, Mike, I was getting ready to clobber a guy. I wish he was here, I could embarrass him. He said, I was getting ready to clobber a guy. You ever feel like clobbering somebody? I always ever felt like clobbering somebody. Okay. And he said, if he only was here, I would. And then he said, I thought about the purpose. Isn't that neat, Jack? He said, I thought about the purpose. Isn't that neat, Harvey? Thought about the purpose, and I thought, man, I can't clobber that guy because it ruined the purpose. I couldn't glorify God in that. And he says it really energized him and gave him the ability at that moment not to go search that guy out and clobber him. The purpose. A reason to sacrifice. It's not easy to sacrifice if you don't have a reason to sacrifice, right? A great sacrifice requires a great purpose. A great sacrifice requires a great purpose. I'm not going to sacrifice my life for a cup of coffee. Are you? You might, huh? Depending on how thirsty you were. I'm not going to sacrifice my life for anything small. But But we have a purpose to glorify the greatest being in the universe. We have a purpose to save trillions and trillions, even a Googleplex, and that is a real word, the largest number in the world, a Googleplex. It really is. Googleplex. The largest number in the world. That's how many beings are going to be saved throughout the universe because we have fulfilled our purpose. Now, are you willing to sacrifice your little measly little life? You ready to sacrifice that measly little house? You ready to sacrifice that measly little car? When you're thinking about trillions of beings throughout the universe just as precious as you depend on you? A great purpose gives you something that you can really sacrifice for and have a reason to live for. People get so discouraged in this life because they live to survive to live. They work to have money to eat, so they go back to work. They work so they can go home and go to sleep and wake up so they can go back to work. They rest so they can work, and they work so they can rest. They build a house so they can sleep in it, so they go out and work so they can build another house. And they eat and they go circle, circle, circle. Why be alive? I get tired of living to live, just living to be here. But I have an eternal purpose that goes much greater and beyond all that. Isn't that exciting? A great purpose. I've got a reason to live now. I got a reason to eat. I got a reason to sleep. I got a reason to live in a house or to do something or to be married or not to be or whatever. I got a reason. I got a purpose. Purpose will give you great power in this life. Number six. Two more points. Great power. We can have great power as a Christian because we have security and a support system. We can, you know, the key to exercising power is to take a chance, to reach out. And when you have a support system to depend upon, like we do in the body of Christ, it gives you, enables you to use all the power that you have to take a chance, to reach out, to go beyond, to experience, to experiment beyond the perimeters you're usually able, used to operate in. You can have great power because you got a great support system that God has developed, a body. God didn't have to. God could have made everybody individuals. He didn't have to make a body, did he? He didn't have to have us joined to one body. Everyone could have been individualistic. Everyone just work on your own and God tell you what to do. But God didn't do it that way because then you only have yourself to depend on. But we have a great support system. We have a body of believers that are at the same purpose. They care and love about you and for you. So our support system is a source of great power. Number seven, and last but not least, we have the supernatural. The supernatural power that everybody talks about. Being able to do miracles and do things that are impossible. Why is that so important? Yeah, I'm going to give you a side of this. There's many things I can say, but let me give you a side you don't think of very often. Listen to this. The fact that it's possible, the fact that God does give us the supernatural, the fact that everything is possible gives us the ability and courage to rest in it when the possible doesn't happen. It gives us the ability and the courage to settle for where we're at. Now, let me explain that. If I have something that I need, like I need about $1,000, okay? If I have that need, and I know that God can provide that need, I believe in the supernatural, and I know that's easy for him, and he does not provide that need, that settles it. I can rest in it. More so than if I did not have the availability of the supernatural and I needed it, so I kept on going after it all the time, trying to find a way to get it in my own power. Always searching, always trying to find another way. But once I realize that God has the power to give it and it hasn't been given, then I can rest in it. And that takes away a lot of stress. That takes away a lot of frustration. It takes away, it allows me to deal with the circumstances without always trying to find a way out of it. I hope you catch that, because that's a very important point. Something God showed me I never thought of before about supernatural power. He gives me the ability to deal with circumstances when I'm in it, knowing that I can always get out of it anytime God wants me out of it. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know. Are you getting that? Maybe you're not getting that. I don't know. Check this is what you do. Okay. I'm okay. But that really just really touched my heart when God showed me that. The fact that everything's possible lets me live with things when it doesn't take place. When the freedom doesn't come, when the deliverance doesn't come. Praise the Lord. There are 7 points. 7 building stones to great power in your life. Love, knowledge, forgiveness, being a living sacrifice, having a purpose, having a support system, and believing in the supernatural. Those 7 points will enable you to release all of God's power into your life. If you will think about those 7 points and allow those 7 points to be a part of your life, part of your attitude. How many want to do it? Anybody? You're not going to hear it. Pick on me. Praise God. You're going to vote. Praise the Lord. Is there any questions, comments about the sermon tonight? Praise God. We need to see that power, don't we? And if we'll follow those 7 steps and let those 7 things be a part of our foundation, we'll have it.